You want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to put up four words that have some relationship other than the fact that they all start with the letter D. They are all four emotional states or conditions or elements or whatever you want to call them. I want to give you my definition of these four words. Each definition comes in two parts. I'll put the first part of each word up there first and then the second. Tell me if you would agree with this. A person is delighted when what transpires around them ends with a positive fashion.
Amen.
Would that be true?
Yes.
Reasonably? Something positive happens, isn't it? That's delightful. The next three, I think, are the same. When whatever transpires around you ends in a negative fashion, you get disappointed or discouraged or depressed. Would that be accurate? Okay, now that's the first half. A person is delighted when what transpires around them ends in a positive fashion and is encouraged to continue what they've been doing. You're doing something, it gets a positive outcome, and hey, let's keep on doing this. In fact, maybe even do it more because it's great. A person who is disappointed is a person who has experienced something of a negative, but they continue doing what they've been doing anyway. Disappointed in the outcome, and possibly even they increase their efforts to do what they were doing, because maybe if they did it a little bit more or a little bit better, they'd get positive output. But they're initially discouraged or disappointed. A discouraged person is tempted to stop, but they don't. It's necessary, but it's discouraging. A person who is depressed, though, does stop. Okay? Would you agree that that's a reasonable definition of those four words? I like how you agree with me.
I had to take a picture of that.
Okay? Is it right for a Christian to be delighted?
Yes. Without a doubt.
Psalm 30. Well, I was thinking of one that was very close to that one. Psalm 40. Verse 8, David said, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Okay, so did Jesus ever delight over things that transpired?
Yes.
Okay. Did Jesus, well, let me ask first, are there times in the Christian life where you get disappointed?
Yes, all the time.
Was Jesus ever disappointed? Where?
Whenever he was, Judas, basically, you know.
Okay, that would be one.
Yeah.
Hold on there a second. I think that's more than disappointment. How about on the day that we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry? Luke 19:42 saying, if thou hadst known even thou at least this day the things that which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. Comes to the city, looks, you know, here are these Pharisees that are rejecting him. This is disappointing. You could have had peace. Did it stop him? No, he kept right on doing what he was doing. Was he discouraged? And I would say that's where he was discouraged. Matthew chapter 26, and he went a little further and he fell on his face praying, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Tempted to quit, Nevertheless, not thy will, but my will, but thy will be done. Yeah, three times. He was tempted. He didn't do it, but he was tempted. Was Jesus ever depressed? Did he ever stop doing what he was called to do? Should Christians ever be depressed? Now, before you answer that, let me give you a similar question. Should Christians ever sin? And the answer is,
no.
Of course not. Do we?
Yes.
The answer is, unfortunately, yes. Should Christians ever be depressed? I would say, shouldn't be, but sometimes we are. In fact, sometimes even the greatest of saints get depressed. And Elijah was one of them. We pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, but let me just start at verse 46 of the previous chapter where we left off. He's defeated the prophets of Baal. The rain is coming, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, let's read along here. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of the life of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him a second time and touched him. And he said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. I am going to suggest to you tonight that within those 8 verses of Scripture, you have the declaration that Elijah was clinically depressed. Now, I looked online for a good definition clinical depression. I got one from the Mayo Clinic. Now, the Mayo Clinic is a reputable place to find a medical definition. This is what they said it is. Clinical depression, or major depressive disorder, is a serious mental health condition characterized by a persistent, intense, and ongoing low mood or loss of interest in activities lasting at least 2 weeks. It severely impairs daily functioning, affecting sleep, appetite, energy levels, and self-worth. I think they hit the nail on the head. But I also think they missed out on a couple of other things. I'm going to add 3 more characteristics, as well as social interaction, purpose of living, and conception of reality. And I will suggest to you that Elijah displayed all those characteristics. Now, the one we'll have to wait until next week to see. But look at the passage again here. Elijah is standing outside. A messenger comes to him and says, Queen says, you're going to die. Your number's up, buddy. And he takes off. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. No more social interaction. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. His purpose of living was affected. Now, I appreciate, at least at this point, he didn't take his life into his own hands. He asked the Lord to do it. Because God is sovereign over how long we live. That's his prerogative, not ours, to take his own life. And he didn't do that, but he's saying, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Take my life from me. So, he's asking to die. And then he says, for I am not better than my fathers. Self-worth. Who said you had to be? Well, shouldn't I be? Well, no, not necessarily. So his self-worth is impaired. And as he lay, he slept under a juniper tree, energy levels affecting his sleep and his appetite. So he eats and he drinks because the angel tells him to do so, and he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That's more than 2 weeks. And when he got to Horeb, which is actually Mount Sinai, he was still in the same condition, if not worse. According to the Mayo Clinic, and two of the three editions that I've added to it, he was clinically depressed. They're related, yeah. Your self-worth is, I think of myself as being so good, and if I'm not perceived at that, then I pity myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, they're related. So, should he have been depressed? Well, didn't good things happen around him? Let's recount them. His testimony was vindicated. Remember, he came to Ahab, and the question was, are you the one who's troubling Israel? And Elijah said, nope, it's you. So, whose word was right? Well, let's have a little contest. And it was proven Ahab wasn't the culprit. He was telling the truth. I said it wouldn't rain till I say so. It hasn't rained. There you go. Well, that should have encouraged him. Keep on keeping on. The people repented. Is that a good thing? Amen. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. That was good. Should have been encouraged by that. The instigators of Israel's idolatry were removed. By the way, it was Elijah that killed them.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was. I checked the grammar on it, and it was a third-person singular verb.
Pastor, what's that, 850 killed?
450.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
I don't know how he did.
Hold that thought. It wasn't good that people died, but it was good that evil was removed. So that's a positive thing. And Ahab showed a partial acceptance of Elijah. Now, how do we know that? Well, here's how we know that. We have this contest. When it's all done, Elijah says to the people, gather up the 450 people. I'm going to kill them. Ahab, who's the king, could have said, oh, wait a minute. I'm still in charge here. You're not going to do that. He never said that. He permitted it. Okay, so he's allowing this to go on. After that, he says to Ahab, better get up on the mountain because there's a sound of the abundance of rain. Guess what Ahab did? He went up on the mountain. Elijah says to him, you better eat and drink. Guess what Ahab's doing? Eating and drinking. Now the rain's coming. Elijah says, you better get down and get in your chariot. Guess what Ahab does? Gets down, gets in his chariot. He's listening to everything that Elijah told him to do. Now, I think part of it was that Ahab was a wimp.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Isn't that Jezebel awesome?
Jezebel's the one who wore the pants in the family. We'll get into this later on with Naboth's vineyard. Oh, he wouldn't give me the bag. Jezebel says, I'll take care of him. He was a wimp. But nonetheless, there was no one there who had more authority than him. And Elijah's exercising it, which tells me that he probably...
A little scared of
him. Yeah, he was at
after
least
what he saw that.
A little intimidated by him. So now they're running this back to Jezreel, about 8 miles. What do you think his hope was in doing so? Bible doesn't tell us, but let me suggest this. He went back there hoping for the genuine or complete repentance of Ahab and Jezebel. Because as long as they're still in charge, there's still going to be idolatry in the land. But if he can get the leadership converted, it would be the best thing for the nation. And so he goes back. That was his hope. Well, what happened? He goes, he doesn't go into the palace, but he stands at the entrance. And Ahab goes in. Now, let me put this in perspective. He's up here at Mount Carmel. He goes to Jezreel, which is about 8 miles. When he gets the word that Jezebel says he's going to die by the next day, he takes off for Bethsaida, or for Beersheba, southern part of Israel down here, a distance of roughly 100 miles. He's there for a little bit. The angel comes, gives him food, and then sends him down here to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. Either word is the same place, which is a longer distance. But we're not there yet. He takes off. Why? Why? What led to him being so depressed? A couple of things. Failure to maintain his health needs. Now notice I have a question mark after that. There he is on the day of this contest. What was he doing the whole day? While the prophets of Baal are jumping up and down on their altars and calling on their God and doing whatever they're doing. Scripture doesn't tell us. Was he eating and drinking? Was he maintaining his appetite or quenching it? Doesn't say. But in that it doesn't say, I don't know that I have reason to believe that he was. After the contest is over, he tells Ahab, eat and drink. But what's he doing? He's up there praying. Doesn't say that he was eating and drinking. He goes after that 8 miles to Jezreel. Doesn't say that he was eating and drinking. What are the two greatest causes of depression? Lack of food, lack of sleep. Very possibly he was so excited about what was happening, he may not have slept that night. And now the next day, Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. Well, you don't maintain your health needs. Your body works in conjunction with your spirit, with your soul. They work together. That could have been part of it. Possibly he failed to seek God's will. Now, again, I have a question mark there. But here's the difference. He goes to Ahab and he says, it's not going to rain till I say so. And God says, I want you to go out to the brook Cherith, and there I will feed the birds, or I will command the birds to feed you. God spoke to him. Here's where I want you to go. He's there for a while. God speaks to him, says, I want you to go up to Zarephath. There I've commanded a woman, a widow, to take care of you. Goes up there. He's in the will of God. He's there for a while. God says to him, I want you to go find Ahab. Bring this thing to a conclusion. He goes down to Mount Carmel. There he has this thing. Where did God speak to him? Where did God tell him to run 8 miles to Jezreel? I don't see it here. Now, maybe God did, which is why I have the question mark. But in that God always spoke to him, this is where I want you to be, and it doesn't say it here. I wonder if he didn't. And Elijah is doing his own thing. Possible. He goes to the entrance of Jezreel, but Ahab tells Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets. What's wrong with that? Yes, there is. You have an unsaved person recounting the activity of God. Do you think it's going to be skewed? Elijah did all these things. Wait a minute. No, Elijah's God did these things. You better be in fear of him. Elijah, we can take care of him. He's just a man. Had Elijah gone in and recounted the story, he would have said, look, my God brought fire out of heaven to consume these things. And if you're not careful, he'll bring fire out of heaven to consume you. Amen. Ahab would never say that. And possibly if he would have gone in, Jezebel might have said differently. His hope was unfortunately his hope. Did he ask God what God wanted the outcome to be? God said to him, you tell Ahab no rain till I say so. There's the outcome. Don't see that there. We get our hopes up for our things. But if our things aren't God's things, we're going to be disappointed at the very least. And then he failed to remember God's provision and protection. Mm-hmm. During that 3.5 years, he was over here at the Brook Cherith. And he was up here at Zarephath. He was right in Ahab's backyard. And remember, Ahab was searching for him the whole time he was, quote unquote, missing. Even going into different countries, seeking him out. And God was protecting him. Never found him during that time. Do you think God could have protected him while he was yet in Jezreel? The answer is yes. But here's this woman says, I'm going to get you within 24 hours. I got to get out of here. No, he really didn't, unless God said so. And consequently, he goes off. He doesn't take care of his physical needs until he's absolutely exhausted. After all, he's going 100 miles down to Beersheba. That's got to take a toll on you. After being emotionally exhausted from the contest on Mount Carmel, poor guy, he is depressed.
stop praying.
Yeah, we don't see that either.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how do we avoid depression? We shouldn't be, but sometimes we are. Well, how do we keep from being depressed? Number one, make sure you get plenty of rest and eat a reasonable diet. Eat when you have to. As I said, our bodies are united with our souls. They work hand in hand. You cannot major on one and neglect the other. It just doesn't work. Secondly, we always need to seek God's will. Whenever we are in the middle of God's will, we are in the middle of God's care. It's as simple as that. Someone has said, the most unsafe place for a baby in today's society is in the womb of a mother. Isn't that sad? Because so many women are out of the will of God. I was told a story by my mentor in Bible college of one of his professors when he was in seminary. They were in Dallas, Texas, and they were crossing a busy street. And my mentor got across the street, but his mentor had stopped in the middle. And when he finally did get to the other side, my mentor said to him, "Why did you stop? You're putting yourself in great danger." And he said to him, "I realized there was a need in my life that I had to talk to the Lord about." And he said, "I was safer in the will of God in the middle of a busy street than on the sidewalk out of the will of God."
Is that the will of God?
Yeah, it was for him.
Crazy.
But when we're in the will of God, what can touch us? Only God can. Whenever you have opportunity, speak for God. Don't let anybody else tell you how the world operates, because they will skew things. You don't have to laud yourself. You just need to say, here's what God says. And if you don't like it, take it up with Him. Seek what God wants, not what you want. Elijah's hopes were great. I'd love to see the conversion of Ahab and Jezebel. That would be wonderful. There's lots of people that I would love to see come to know Christ as Savior. And God is not willing that any should perish. But the fact of the matter is, there are going to be many who won't. And will I actually better or hinder the cause of God by taking things into my own hands out of the will of God? Even if the outcome is great. And then always remember God's provision and protection. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, God says. How can I be depressed when I know that God is by my side? It's simply impossible. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the cure for depression. God's going to bring them out of this. Aren't you glad God can do that? Here, it's enough, Lord. Take my life. God said, uh-uh. That's the Hebrew word, uh-uh.
Look at my interlinear.
Yeah, you can check that one out. And it'll be interesting to see what God does. It's interesting to compare it what the world says is the cure for depression. We'll get into that. But thanks be to God that we have a mighty fortress.
Amen.
And that one little word like that of Jezebel's cannot fail us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your care for us. Lord, a lot of crazy things are happening around us today. There are a lot of things to be discouraged about, to be disappointed about. But help us, Lord, never to be depressed about. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon you and the accomplishment of your will and the proclamation of your word, that we might affect the things of God for your glory. Lord, keep us, use us, motivate us, prosper us in the week that's before us, and bring us back again to worship you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.